Last week, when Governor Mike DeWine announced a stay-at-home executive order signed by Ohio Health Director Dr. Amy Acton, he also gave the details of this new measure and pointed out the importance of the food supply chain. He deemed people who have jobs along that chain as essential, giving those involved in agriculture an exemption from the order to continue to supply consumers with the food they need. The list of essential services includes all aspects of the food production supply chain. So how is Ohio's food system holding up through the coronavirus crisis? Find out today as we visit with Ohio Farm Bureau, the Ohio Restaurant Association, a small farmer, and a community grocer.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
Ohio Farm Bureau has been working with the DeWine administration, emphasizing the importance of not disrupting the food system and how agriculture plays an integral part in keeping food on the table for those heeding the stay-at-home order. Adam Sharp is the Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau. Adam, I know all of us have the personal story of how this has changed our lives. What's been the biggest change for you through all of this, whether it be professional or personal?
Well, you know, starting with the initial announcements and discussions about what the country was going to have to do, and then obviously here in the state of Ohio, of the seeing the spread of the virus, and then starting to see the reaction in what was going to be happening, and then thinking through that, what's that going to mean to Farm Bureau, to our employees and our members? You know, that's first thing on my mind is what's this going to mean to everybody here, and making sure that we can ensure a safe, healthy environment for our employees, and then do everything possible to help our members through this. So, you know, those were two big questions, right, that immediately popped into my head. What's Farm Bureau's role?
Obviously, this changed for a lot of us. We all, over 50 of us, worked in the downtown office, and now we're all working from our own home bases, and it's very unorthodox. But how's that working for Ohio Farm Bureau, for all of us to be at remote locations?
First, I just say kind of hats off to our whole team, everybody pulling together and understanding the importance of moving to working from home. We're all learning a lot in that regard, but trying to do our part, right? Both for society and the Columbus community of where our office resides, but also for ourselves and for our employees' health to make sure that we're doing everything we can do. So we moved through that in a very rapid pace, but a very orderly pace, and I think in a very good one. And to set that example too, and to learn from it and share with our other friends, colleagues, other organizations, with our members, that we're all taking responsibility to act in the manner that we should be acting, right? To help hopefully slow the spread of the virus and hopefully alleviate some of the concerns in the health services systems here in the state of Ohio. So it's a big deal, but we've moved through it rapidly and well with a good plan that we're now operating under.
Obviously, concern about the employees, also concern about the members. There are going to be some things changing in our society that would affect agriculture and the people that we work for day in and day out at Ohio Farm Bureau. What was one of the biggest early concerns for agriculture when things started to, the dominoes started to fall with closures of schools and businesses and such?
Yeah, well, part of the, if you go clear back to actually after 9/11, the federal government, George Bush, issued a series of these directives. And in the times of national crisis, he said, he laid out a series of critical infrastructures and said, and kind of asked those key questions. What are these critical infrastructures in the country that if we have these major national crises that we should make sure continue to operate to help society? And one of those sectors is food and agriculture, obviously a critical one to supply the nation with food. So that, to be honest, in having worked in that space prior to coming to Ohio Farm Bureau, that's immediately what I thought of was what's going to be the disruption, and then how can we, as a Farm Bureau, make sure we're playing a role to advocate for that continued operation of the food and agriculture system here in Ohio.
Adam Sharp is Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau, and we were in Washington, D.C. on the county president's trip when things really started to change, I should say, across the state and across the nation. We knew that things would be different when we came back to Columbus than they were when we left Columbus just 3 days earlier. But the DeWine administration had visited with folks from Ohio Farm Bureau, including yourself, Adam, about some of these changes upcoming. When did those conversations start, and what did they include?
Yeah, we were, you know, kind of seeing this stuff happening in real time when we had, you know, a big group of our, as you mentioned there, Ty, you know, a bunch of our county presidents and vice presidents together. So we were all hearing this news, you know, at the same time about the initiation of a lot of these closures and actions being taken. So that's right. It was good to frankly to be with our members and a lot of our, you know, key staff. We were all together when this was starting to happen, so we could talk a lot quickly and come up with some ideas. But immediately and it was appreciated even on that Wednesday of that week. When these things first started happening, the lieutenant governor reached out, called me directly, and has continued to reach out to myself and numerous stakeholders around the state, and some of the other key business leaders, to talk about these critical infrastructures and to make sure that the state actions could, you know, they wanted to be careful they didn't interrupt these key infrastructures and make sure that these pieces could continue to operate. So we appreciated that reach out, and they continue to do that, take our input, and then utilize our input as they've worked through these various orders to make sure that they're not disrupting in any kind of major way the food and agriculture system. So that's been very much appreciated. It's been very candid, and that's appreciated too. Knowing how much is on their plate, right, the governor and the lieutenant governor to work through this, knowing how much is on their plate, for them to take the time personally to reach out to us and have those conversations, and then not only just hear us, but take the input and then act on it, which they have done now, is very much appreciated. We've also had the same opportunity at the federal level, working with the Department of Homeland Security, of providing input there that has been taken literally verbatim, good input that they've taken from us and used it, putting together their guidance documents and updating some of these guidance documents that frankly they put together years ago and use those in over those, especially over these last 3 or 4 days, which has been really good to see.
That guidance was used and the decision was made by the state to deem some workers and some industries as essential. Agriculture, a big component of that list. How important was that, and what does that mean now for people in our industry?
Well, it's critical, you know, to use the very word, right, that is defined as. If we don't have food, we're in a real trouble spot, right? We need to make sure that food is still being produced and is still moving in as much of a similar fashion as we can, right, to the consumer. And as we know, sometimes that comes through grocery stores, right? It starts at the farm, right? And sometimes it gives to the grocery store, sometimes through a restaurant, sometimes direct to the consumer from the farmer. So we know it comes in lots of different ways. And it's a complex system. It's a big system. But it also is one that with some interruptions that could happen in the short term could have major impact. When you look at meat, milk, eggs, poultry, when you look at produce, a lot of these things have a very short turnaround from the time they're produced on the farm to when they move to the consumer. It's very rapid. So a disturbance in that system could really mess things up quickly. So you want to make sure that you have a strong, safe food system that is abundant, which we have now, and that's the importance. And I think collectively, I've not heard anybody question that importance. And in fact, everybody's gone out of their way to make sure we don't disrupt that in this critical time. That's been absolutely key, and that's what's been so appreciated. But you're right. If you look at the document, Section 12 of the actions here in the state, the stay-at-home order that everybody's been talking about by the governor, that stay-at-home order that was signed by public health There's a section in there, 12, that gets very directly into making sure that stores that sell groceries. So on the front side where, you know, you're moving products to the consumer, it is very clear about those obviously being able to stay open. Clear back down through the production chain and starting with farmers. And it literally says, you know, production, processing, cultivation, including farming, livestock, marketing of products, moving the products and distribution of products, both, you know, animal products as well as all agriculture products. So it's very clear, and it's good to see. It also does speak to those direct sale points, like farmers markets and those who are selling farm stands. Those are selling directly to the consumer to make sure that those also can remain open. So that's appreciated as well. Those are things that are very valuable.
Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau, joining us this week on Our Ohio Weekly. You mentioned Section 12. I want to bring up Section 15, because even though it says that those in agriculture are essential, it says that we need to do things right if we continue to work and include some safeguards from the CDC to make sure that as important as we are in this industry, that farmers and workers along the food supply chain don't get sick themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Section 15 talks about social distancing requirements and then other measures. Any business that stays open through this, any critical business like our industry, right? Our whole food and ag industry, we continue to operate, but we have to abide by this section. So we have to make sure that we are taking those precautions to protect our employees, right? To protect those who are working with us, protect our family members when we're working on the farm. You know, we want to make sure that we're following these directives in practicing these good measures. You know, we're doing it at Farm Bureau. We're certainly promoting that out with our members to make sure they are. And working with the broader business community, that's what everybody's doing, is talking about, look, if you're one of these businesses and you're going to continue to operate, you're critical, but you also make sure you got to take care of your workers. You got to take care of your employees, your family members, and all those around you by adhering to these measures.
Talked about all the measures at the state level. Before I let you go, there are still some things that need to be done or being worked on as we speak at the federal level. What are some of the things we're focusing on as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, well, federally, you're seeing, you know, Congress is working on, you know, some various measures. We'll see how those shake out. But I think one of the good parts is that when you look at the Department of Homeland Security's guidance that directly speaks to these critical infrastructure pieces, as they continue to learn, they're going to keep updating their directives here, their guidance documents, I should say, dealing with food and agriculture. So that's good to see. You know, they also recognize that they're learning, and they will continue to put out updated versions of that. So that's going to keep evolving. And as that does, you know, obviously that's something we're going to be involved with to make sure we're continuing to provide input and then take that guidance and make sure it gets used and distributed and make sure we're making sure that our members have access to that. So those are very important things that are going to keep happening at the federal level. But also, you know, when we're just talking about an organization, one of the things is we're making sure that as farm businesses out there are being disrupted, if there's issues out there of disruption and questions, that people talk to us. You know, while our office in Columbus is closed and we're closing our, you know, those local county offices, just because the physical office is closed, Farm Bureau is doing business and we're working for our members. And so we want to hear from our members if they have these kind of questions about disruptions in the food industry, in our farming industry, so that we can make sure that when we're collecting these from members, we have been now for several weeks, and then turning back around and where we can, trying to get those addressed.
Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau, thank you for taking time for this, and I can't wait to actually see you again. Take care.
Hey, that's right. We'll see, I'm sure, again soon.
Another big industry in Ohio taking a big hit through the coronavirus crisis is the restaurant industry. We'll check in with the Ohio Restaurant Association after this on Our Ohio Weekly.
Are you a small business owner supporting agriculture, such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, and a variety of plans designed to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org. OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that? A crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
For farmers, it can be a challenge to navigate life from time to time, and agriculture can magnify those moments. Hi, I am Nathan Brown, a Highland County farmer and a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau Board of Trustees. Farmers, you are not alone. Help is available if you're dealing with stresses of farming. If you or someone you know is struggling with stress, text 4HOPE to 741-741 or visit go.osu.edu/agcrisis. A message from the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation.
For farmers and small business owners looking for quality, affordable health care for themselves and employees, the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan may be your solution. The plan is available for employers with fewer than 100 employees and sole proprietors who have employees, are headquartered in Ohio, and operate within the farm-to-fork sector. To learn more about qualifications and plan details, visit OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org. A quality, affordable health care option. Visit OFBHealthBenefitsPlan.org.
Your projects are a big deal, so use equipment that can get the job done. Cat Equipment sets the standard for the industry. The Cat product line includes more than 300 machines to handle a wide variety of duties. Ohio Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 when buying or leasing qualifying Cat equipment, plus a $250 credit on select work tool attachments. Learn more by visiting ofbf.org/savings and click on the Caterpillar logo. Limitations and restrictions apply.
More of Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins next.
Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and this week we're checking in on Ohio's food system. Just talked with Ohio Farm Bureau's Adam Sharp about the agriculture industry. Now it's time to check in on an industry we know has been hit really hard over the last 2 weeks. That's Ohio's restaurant industry. John Barker is president and CEO of the Ohio Restaurant Association. And John, before we talk about the implications of the coronavirus crisis, give me really a 30,000-foot view of the restaurant industry in Ohio.
So the restaurant industry in Ohio is the second largest in the state in terms of jobs. 585,000 people work in restaurant and food service. That's about 10% of the employment in the state. Sales in the state add up to about $25.5 billion.
As you read the news headlines, of course you read about the restaurants that have had to lay off workers. You also read about restaurants that are hiring and are doing, I'm not going to say thriving, but they're doing better than expected through this crisis. Some restaurants and their business models holding up better than others. Why is that?
To tell two worlds in the restaurant industry here in the past week. Restaurants that already did delivery as a key component of their business are doing better. Obviously, those that that deliver things like pizza and items that people were used to getting delivered, in most cases, those folks, their sales are up a little bit, and they're trying to hire. And then here in Columbus, Donato's Pizza is trying to hire a couple hundred people to help the surge of business. So that's on that side. We have businesses that take out and carry out curbside, things like that. And they're trying to get their business model and how they operate even inside their restaurant to be better operations so that they can do a good job of that. And so many of those businesses are working through that and getting better at it. And we're hoping is a key component of the food channel, we're going to be able to continue to do that. One of the things that we've been sharing with folks is when you think about where people get their food in Ohio and in the United States, 51% of the food dollar before coronavirus went through restaurants.
You have a lot of interest, a lot of reasons to visit with the DeWine administration through all of this, a reason to watch things at the state and national level. What's happened so far through government actions that has been helpful to the restaurant industry?
There's been a number of things that have been helpful. And one of the things that we're pointing out to our elected officials here in Ohio and in Washington, D.C., is although some restaurants are able to pivot and do well, so many of our restaurants that are independent, that are smaller, restaurants that do a lot of in-store dining, is in-restaurant dining is a key component of their business, they're already closed. So, you know, we're talking to the elected officials, and so far they've been responsive on certain things. So, for example, we immediately were able to get unemployment benefits for people rather than the normal wait. And so that's up and running, and that online system is working. There were, you know, a few jitters in the system early on, obviously, with so many people trying to log on. But I think most people have been able to navigate that. And so for individuals, that was reassuring, so they could at least get, you know, signed up for unemployment and get some cash coming in, which is going to be really important for the economy, because it's not just for restaurant business, but it's for the entire economy, because so many people in the restaurant industry suddenly out of work, that, you know, getting them some money so that they can, you know, pay their food bills, pay their rent, things like that was pretty critical. So we appreciate that on a statewide basis. The state also, for businesses, greenlit a Small Business Administration loan program, and that information came out relatively quick, and so people are working through that. It's pretty complicated to apply for a small business loan through that. And we know that from talking directly to hundreds of restaurateurs who have tried to do it already. You need to have a lot of information, and it's, you know, online. It, you know, takes some work, but that's up and running, and so we're thankful for that. We also know from the federal government, we were able to, in the first stimulus relief bill coming from the federal government, the coverage for sick pay for 2 weeks, which was really important, so that businesses and everybody involved, if somebody has any sickness at all, whether it's COVID-19 or just any other sickness, they can immediately stay home and stay out of the workforce and stay away from people. And so those are things that started to happen relatively quickly that we appreciated from elected officials. But we're really pushing right now. The big bill that's coming through the federal government would really help individuals across all industries. And that's the component of that, across all industries. And then a lot of help for businesses. Businesses are going to need a combination of grants, and they're going to need low-interest loans or zero-interest loans to be able to survive in some cases, particularly in the restaurant space where, again, cash flow is so sensitive. And they're going to need to have these funds to get reopened once we're through the worst of the health crisis.
The answer to this question is purely speculative, depending on how long it takes to flatten the curve and get us back to some type of normalcy. But in your opinion, what does Ohio's restaurant industry look like once we get to that point?
It's difficult to have an exact picture on where Ohio's industry will be from the restaurant perspective after this. But I do think so far the impact has been deep and sudden on this industry. So many closures happened immediately. Some restaurants have tried to do that pivot that I mentioned, you know, switching the business model around a little bit to more takeout and all that. And they tried that for a few days and realized they weren't really set up operationally to do that and to even get to a break even to keep on a small staff to be able to do that. And so that has wreaked devastation immediately for the industry. These restaurants are closed and put into a sleep mode and with the hope that they'll be able to reopen. But that will depend on things like getting relief on things like lease and rent and even utility bills and things like that we've really encouraged our restaurant owners to, you know, reach out and try to get that relief. We've asked the state and federal government to include a tax holiday for businesses so they could defer the big tax payments that are coming due, and just all of those things. But I do believe we're going to see a smaller restaurant industry after this, and we're going to see some really sad stories of our favorite restaurants all over Ohio and are not able to reopen unless the stimulus packages are pretty thorough.
John Barker, President and CEO of the Ohio Restaurant Association, really appreciate you taking time to visit with us this morning.
Thank you, Ty.
Every little bit helps, so make sure and support your favorite restaurants as we have this stay-at-home order all across the Buckeye State. How is this affecting the small farmer? We'll find out after this. Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and it's time now for the segment To the Beat of Agriculture. Wayne Dyer, a motivational speaker, once said, "Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change." In the face of the coronavirus, today's guest certainly looked at things and changed them for the better.
My name is Bill Brown. I'm the current president for Starr County Farm Bureau. Been on the board for 4 or 5 years now. This is, I believe, my third year as president. So I still live at the farm I grew up on. We're in Paris, Ohio, so it's about a half hour east of Canton. We're in this kind of the southeast corner of Stark County. We're a tri-county district. We lie in Stark, Columbiana, and Carroll counties. Being in agriculture, there's, you know, we're only about 2% of the population, and there's a lot of other occupations out there, but, you know, ours is still, in my opinion, the most important because we get up every day and we are, you know, we're determined to feed, you know, our neighbors, our community, and the rest of the world. And there's, you know, there's no better feeling than to have customers that come to you and say, you know, here's, you know, I'm choosing to purchase my products from you because I'm choosing you to feed my family is how I view it. I run a direct-to-consumer poultry operation, so we're growing 6,000 broilers, 1,000 turkeys, and 500 layers on pasture. We direct market all of our products to primarily through the farmers market channels across the state, but I kind of got settled into Worthington's market, so we're pretty much probably 90% of what we grow goes into Central Ohio through the Worthington Farmers Market on Saturday mornings. Last I knew that our indoor market, we saw 2,000 to 3,000 customers on a Saturday morning, and I believe we had ballpark of 50 vendors typically on a Saturday morning as well. The outdoor market is a little bit more volume, and we typically have around 90 to 100 vendors when we run in the outdoor season. I had a phenomenal VOAG teacher, Jamie Glavin. He really got behind me, and you know, he always tried to instill in our brains is that change is inevitable, and that's one thing that I have always found to be true. You know, change is a constant, and if you're not willing to change, you're going to get left behind. And I think with everything that we have going on in the world now, you know, I think that's probably ringing truer than ever. Coronavirus outbreak. I had the joy of going to the president's trip for Ohio Farm Bureau. We had a great trip. We were, of course, the concerns were heightened due to a lot of the, you know, all the concerns with COVID-19. While I was down the trip, you know, we're watching everything unfold on our phones at home. So I started reaching out. I've got a good buddy of mine that sits on the Worthington advisory board as well. We're both vendors down at the farmer's market. And I told him, I said, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned that we may see a market closure. And by the end of the evening, he had texted me and he said, hey, I don't know if you saw your email yet, but they have closed market. For many of us, this outlet is our only source of revenue. You know, I've spent 10 years building a business, and the last thing you want to do is see something like this come in and crush it like a pop can. So, you know, we started trying to develop a plan and how are we going to get through this first of all, and then hopefully gain strength from it in the long run. I have a website that has the capability to do e-commerce. I had sold all of my turkeys last fall through the website, but I hadn't really devoted the time to really push on it much beyond that. So, you know, I was already sitting a little bit in a more favorable position than some of my fellow vendors were. So we had decided through a partnership through myself at Brown Brothers Farms, Wes at Vanskoy Farms, and then we later brought in Don and Lisa Jones from Kingdom Fish, that we were going to put their products on my site so that we would be able to have access to them, access to customers, the customers access to our products. And then from that point, we would just make a delivery down there on Saturday morning and deliver to the, you know, a parking lot or some central location so the customers could continue to get products. This last Saturday, we had our first drive-through model farmer's market. All of the product had to be pre-ordered and prepaid. And then the customers drove through in their vehicles. They would stop at the vendors that they had orders with. We would take that product, place it in their vehicle, whether it be their trunk, back seat, and then they just kept on driving through the farmer's market. And when they got to the end, they had all their product that they had purchased for the week. So it's worked really well. we've been fortunate that since I had already had this framework in place and I just had to implement it a little bit, that it does appear like it's working. Biggest lesson I've learned here through this is that you cannot have just one sole market outlet. We sit back and we look at all of the economic impacts that COVID-19 has already had, shutting down a lot of local business. But yet I have customers that came on Saturday that told me, I am worried about you as a business. I want to continue to support you as a business because I want you to get through this. Nothing more rewarding than knowing that you mean that much to your customer to want them to see that you succeed so that you can continue to be their family.
To the Beat of Agriculture, produced by Vince Tornero. That's the voice of William Brown, the president of the Stark County Farm Bureau. If you directly market to consumers, I just wanted to highlight once more the importance of networking and utilizing online platforms to connect with your consumers and their friends. That can certainly help during these uncertain times. We'll be right back on Our Ohio Weekly.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest-working boot. Go to GeorgiaBoot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues after this.
Thank you for making Our Ohio Weekly a part of your weekend. I'm Ty Higgins, and this weekend we're checking out Ohio's food system, seeing how it's holding up amidst this coronavirus crisis and a state shutdown in many aspects. But the food system must go on. We all know that the big box stores ran out of toilet paper and hand sanitizer, had trouble keeping up with food on the shelf for a short time. But what about in those small communities? Scott Rohde is not only the president of the Holmes County Farm Bureau, he also owns and operates Rohde's IGA Marketplace. Scott, tell me about the store.
We've been in Millersburg since my dad's parents started the business in 34. We've been an IGA store that whole time. And we're in our fourth location in the village, and I'm guessing it's about a 35,000-square-foot building.
Have to imagine, in all those years of business, you haven't seen anything like you have for the past couple of weeks. Can you walk me through, from a grocer standpoint, what happened and everything that took place?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you hear anything from historical to unprecedented, but normally if there's some type of bad weather and you get a run-on product with the like a blizzard warning type snowstorm, that happens with, you know, within that certain part of the country. But with this being across the whole nation and everybody buying at the same time, it's just really tough for all the wholesalers to have enough product to get out to all the retail stores.
How much time did you have to react? Because I know that you have to put in an order and that truck has to get there. Trucks have to get there with all kinds of different products in order to maintain your shelves. How much time did you have to really prepare for what might have happened?
Yes, we were like everybody else and, you know, follow the news and what's been going on around the world. But you're always unsure how everyone's going to respond. the 12th was really when we saw the first real big increase, and part of that here in Ohio would have been with the announcement of schools going to be shutting down, and that was really the day that business just really jumped.
Tell me about that. How busy were you, and how long did that period last?
Well, the busy part that day was really late afternoon on, when people were getting off work, and after that announcement had been made by the governor, and that continued through the weekend, with every day being busier than what it normally would have been, with, you know, no holiday going on. Got to where we got to Monday the 16th, and that's when it really took off, and then has stayed steady since then. It, you know, you had asked about trucks. A lot of things, especially like with bread, it's not where the day before you can just say, hey, I want more. They have their production schedules, and I know the bread companies were really hit hard on that, and took probably 4 or 5 days for us to kind of get caught back up where they were, had up their production. Even saying that, I know that the vendors that bring product, you know, they're not getting all the product they need, because everyone's trying to make sure that, you know, everyone has a chance to have some, which makes sense. They don't want one store getting all the product and no other stores having any.
There was a lot of talk there early on that there was a food shortage. And you and I both know, being in agriculture the way we are, that's simply not the case. Can you talk about the logistical aspect of keeping a grocery store full and making sure you have the products you need for the consumers, and how that supply chain was disrupted?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ty. It's not that there isn't food. It's the being able to get it out to retail locations for the customers. And I know our wholesaler that we use was explaining that it's like most of their customers maybe normally would have a half of a semi-trailer would be their normal delivery. And now everybody's orders are so large, it's taking a semi and a half or two trailers to try to get to each store. All that takes extra time for the orders to be picked. Kind of like if you went to a restaurant and you need a table of 12 instead of a table of 4, it's going to take you longer till they can get one for you. Well, with these orders being so large, it's just, you know, they can't keep up on their normal schedules. So we're still getting product. It's just the deliveries might be running behind. And they're also allocating product to the stores so that no store can buy all the, you know, get all the products. So I might not be getting everything I would like to get, but we get a little bit on each delivery.
When do you think things will level out in your industry, and we'll be able to have just a nice level flow again like we saw before this crisis hit?
I don't know that I have an answer on that one, Ty. I know it's not going to be days, and I'm not trying to be bleak on that. I just know that, you know, things take a little bit of time with as much as has been being bought. I'm hoping that with the quantities that people have purchased, that now that slows down a little bit, you know, in locations, but it's still going to take some time for us to get product. Sounds like most of the major manufacturers are going to concentrate on just producing their best-selling items or best-selling sizes of those items. So I'm sure for a while there's maybe not going to be quite the selection that some people have been familiar with over the years. Maybe that means on a certain flavor. Maybe that just means on the size package that they wanted. The manufacturers are going to need to do that to meet what this tremendous demand has been. And by doing that, then they can get the product out faster to all the wholesalers, which in turn get it out to the retail stores.
More with Scott Rohde of Rohde's IGA Marketplace in Millersburg, talking about how the food system in Ohio is holding up during the coronavirus, after this on Our Ohio Weekly.
$500 in bonus cash on eligible Ford vehicles. $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. All it takes is to be or become a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Bonus cash applies to purchases and leases. For all the program requirements and details, visit ofbf.org. Big bonus cash on new Fords and Lincolns, exclusively for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Visit ofbf.org.
Water. Every drop matters. No one knows that better than Ohio's farmers. Clean water is important to every farm and to every farmer. That's why Ohio Farm Bureau has invested millions of dollars to help farmers protect this vital resource. And in the process, protect the future for everyone. To learn more about Farm Bureau's clean water initiatives and for information on becoming a member, we invite you to visit farmersforwater.org today.
Agriculture is Ohio's number one industry. Farmers give so much to keep this industry strong. This last year was very difficult for farmers. I'm Dorothy Palanda, Director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture. So many factors are out of a farmer's control. Add in the long hours, often working alone, and it can all create stress. We're working to connect farmers with mental well-being resources, and we've created GotYourBackOhio.org. We want you to know you're not alone. There is help available. We've got your back.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Products availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Are you a small business owner supporting and involved with agriculture such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Then search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, fixed monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Stick around. Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues following these messages.
This is Our Ohio Weekly. We're getting the perspective of many different types of Ohio's food supply system as we all continue to work through the coronavirus crisis here in the Buckeye State. Scott Rohde owns and operates Rohde's IGA Marketplace in Millersburg, a small grocer there in that part of the state. Your industry has been deemed essential by Governor DeWine last week, which means that you're going to be there for your customers, continue to provide the products they need in order to wait it out and do this stay-at-home order over the next couple of weeks. What precautions, though, because you have employees you have to take care of and make sure everybody is safe and healthy, what have you done there to make sure that happens?
We've instituted mandatory hand-washing breaks, cleaning more than ever, making sure that if anyone isn't feeling up to par, that they let us know that and do not come to work, whatever everyone else is to be doing at this time. We're also trying to do that with the consumers, trying to make sure that we have the wipes that they can wipe down their cart with, and we're also doing cleaning of those other than what they would do.
I'm a silver linings kind of guy, Scott. We're going to come out of this, and we're going to get back to some sort of normalcy. It may not be the normalcy we were used to before, but what good comes out of this for your industry as we get to the summer months and maybe get through this crisis in the long term?
I think just knowing that, as it always has, the American agricultural community, food community, is always there to take care of them. In years past, people garden more, home canned, had more product at home, and over the years, as things have moved to eating out a little more and deciding that day what you want. They've just become accustomed to getting what they want. So maybe people will have a little more in their pantry, whether they start gardening on their own or just keeping a little more around. And I think they'll appreciate what the American food industry has always been able to do for them. I do want to make sure that I thank some local Ohio producers that we've done business with, but in this time we've connected with to try to get more product. Smith Dairy has been able to get us extra deliveries on milk. We've been able to have eggs from Sauter's Eggs, which is has a location here in Holmes County. T. Marzetti owns Inmate Noodles, and that plant is about a mile from me here in Millersburg. So we've picked up noodles there instead of having them get shipped all the way to my wholesaler and then shipped back to us. Another noodle manufacturer in the Holmes County, Wayne County line, the village of Fredericksburg, is Mrs. Miller's Noodles. We've pulled in some pasta from them. And in Ashland, I think it's ER Bullion's beef packing. We do get beef from them as far as from other vendors too, but we've been able to, you know, maybe get it on some days when we normally haven't. And that's helped. You know, we're not in perfect shape, but we're just doing our best to be able to be open and give the consumer what they're looking for when they walk in the door.
I know a lot of our listeners share that appreciation for those small farmers and those small businesses that are able to maintain their operations and keep things going. But have to thank you and your crew there as well and everybody in the grocery supply chain, because if it weren't for you to have a place for us consumers to buy those products and put that food on the table, well, we'd be in a whole lot worse shape than we are. So, Scott, thank you for all you do. And I know it's been long days and long weeks and it will be long months, but we appreciate it very much.
I appreciate that, Ty, and I need to make sure that I thank all our crew here, all of our associates, the high school students that, since they're not in school, have been working way more hours than normal, the college students who have worked for us in the past that are now back home since college is closed, we've had a few of those step in, and just being able to move people around with their hours as our deliveries have changed, and the hard part is we don't know all that in advance. It might be where the night before we're calling people saying, hey, we found out the delivery isn't coming normal. Can we move your hours a little bit? And everyone's stepped up, been receptive of that, and we just keep working to keep the shelves filled.
Scott, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ty. Have a good day.
Scott, one of many along the food system supply chain in Ohio, keeping things running. Secretary Perdue from the U.S. Department of Agriculture had a message for people like Scott and everybody in the food supply. He sends special appreciation to all the people who ensure the safe food gets to the American people.
We've got our food safety inspection workers on the front line day in and day out to make sure our food's safe, just like we always have. But you're the real heroes in this effort. In World War II, we actually had agricultural deferments because the food supply chain was so important. And that's essentially what you all are doing, from the person that makes the equipment that supplies the farmers, to the seed, the fertilizer, the farmers that go day in and day out to produce this food, and all through the processing and the packaging and the logistics and the stocking of the shelves to greeting and checking out people. You're vital to our economy and you're vital to our needs of American of having a food supply.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. And produced by Ohio Farm Bureau, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/Our Ohio Weekly.
I'm Ty Higgins. We'll see you down the road.